So we are doing that Ask Lakeside. You put that slide up there, tinyurl.com/AskLakeside. I have 90 questions. I can see them on my phone. They're anonymous, and they are crazy. All right, there are some people asking really good questions, from questions about the president to essential oils to about God himself to everything in between. It is insane. And so you say, well, how are you going to answer all of these in 4 weeks? Well, I'm not going to answer all. I'm going to answer 4. And so we're going to kind of break them into categories because it kind of seems like that. But if you have any questions that you want answers for, ask them. And I want to, man, God is great. God is good. This world is messed up. And God knows everything, but we don't. And so I would love to go into the scripture and just see what the scripture says, where the scripture speaks. And so feel free to go on there, ask some more questions. That's been since Monday we've opened it up. We've got 90 questions. And so if there's any more, I'm probably going to close it maybe tomorrow. So if you want to do it, you can jump on your phone now or do it later. And but that's tinyurl.com/AskLakeside or our Facebook page. You can find the link on there. But let's get into this last message series. We've been talking about seeking Jesus. And it's a little bit of a play on words where we believe that if you seek Jesus, seek King Jesus, you actually see him. And you'll see him as king, and you'll see him as Lord. And so we've gone over a lot of things. I think it's been about 7 weeks we've gone over this message. We've talked about how to pray. You can find these messages on our website. We talked about how to pray. We've talked about community. We've talked about studying the scripture. We've talked about worship. And today we're going to talk about seeking Jesus in church, in a local church, because I think that is part of God's plan. Now, I'm going to tell you why I think this is part of God's plan. I was not saved in a church. I did not come to Christ in a church. I was really messed up, involved in a lot of bad things, really, like, said I was an atheist, loved to argue with Christians, hooked on different kinds of recreational pharmaceuticals, messed up, out of control, and I came to Christ in my mom's bedroom because I knew my life was falling apart. And so when I came to Christ, I sat down and I prayed, I got on my face, and I sought Jesus, and I got up, and I knew I was changed. There were some things that disappeared instantly, some things God is still working on, but when I got up from the floor, there were 2 things I knew. Nobody had to teach me this. One was, if I really believe this, I got to tell other people, because this is like big news. I can't say I believe this Jesus stuff and not tell people. Because then, like, yeah, you probably don't. If you really think that the God that created everything cared enough about you to come to this planet and die on the cross and cover your sins and your whole eternity can be changed, and that's like, if that's what you believe, but you didn't tell anybody, like, I didn't think I could believe it. So I got up that day and I became that guy that all of his friends were like, what happened to you? And I'm like, God loves you. Jesus is real. He died on the cross. And they're like, get away. So I just go to the next people, to where I'm in the gas station, standing on the bed of my truck on the bumper because I'm short, all right? And I'm standing there. I'm going, hey, let me tell you something. Everybody's like, what? And I'm not recommending this, but it's that youthful zeal. Like when you're just on fire, and I'd stand up there and I preach to everybody. I'd go out into the anywhere and just tell people about Jesus until eventually it leads me to start in this church. So it was one thing I knew that I had to tell people about Jesus. The second thing I knew was like, well, if I believe this, then I got to go to church. I just knew it. Like, I have to go to church. Like, I just do that. So I was like, well, let me find a church. Visited a couple of them, just like some people today are visiting churches and looking for that church where you fit in. And I visited a few, and I was like, ah, cool. Good. But I went into the one church, and all of a sudden, I knew, I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, I sat there. God was more real than I've ever been. The message, it touched my life. And when I left there, I didn't leave thinking about the church. I left thinking about God and about his son, Jesus Christ, and closer to him and more in love with him. And I said, that's where I need to go. If you go to the church and you leave talking about the church, well, then that church has probably failed. So if you think Lakeside is cool, but you're not in love with Jesus, we've messed up somewhere. We might as well shut this whole thing down. But we do want you to fall in love with Jesus Christ. And we hope that here would be a good place for that to happen. So I put a sermon outline inside or out there. You could have grabbed it on your way in. And it has looks like this. It has some colors, and it says week 7. And so it starts with the scripture, and we're going to talk about the local church and why I think it is important. And this is one thing. It's in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, and the scripture's there on the screen. If you didn't grab the paper, it says, this is Jesus talking, the king, like the king, the creator, the one who loved you enough to come here and leave heaven and get dirty, get his feet dirty on earth, and then died on the cross for you and gave everything. So the stuff he says, I like really pay attention to, just to put it in context. This is not Chris's idea. This is Jesus. And he says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. God has designed the gathering of his people as the place where he will reveal himself to you. When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Like, we want to seek Jesus. Like, if I asked, I'm not going to ask, but if I asked, who would really like to know Jesus Christ more? Most people, some people can't even help. They're just like, yes, me. Their hand just went up. All right, that's how real it is. Like, yeah, of course, know that guy that walked on water, who created the universe and rose from the dead. I would love it. Well, you better get where he is. And if he said where two or three are gathered, then I'm among them. That should tell you something. And so that's the biggest thing about the church, is it is designed to help you encounter Christ better. That's why God left it here. That's why God left us here. You can't do life alone. You need a church. And if this is not your church, take everything I'm talking about here today and go somewhere else and put it into practice. Because if this is not the place where God has called you to be, find that place. Find that two or three, find that gathering, and go there and meet Christ. And if this isn't it, then you don't need to be here. But if this is it, well, let's gather and let's encounter Christ. And he gives that word gathering. That word gathering is movement of two or more objects at the same location. To gather, to assemble, to come together, to go together, to meet, to renew relations, to extend a welcome to a guest. You know, Jesus, through Peter, God through Peter, talks about the church being like living stones that are being built together for a temple. And I have 4 kids, so excuse me if I think in Legos instead of stones, but imagine instead of Legos, we got Legos everywhere in my house. All right, we got Legos everywhere, but imagine instead of stones, Peter had known about Legos. I think he would have said Legos, but that's just me. But Legos is really easy to build with. They go together. There's pieces of different colors, different shapes, different sizes, but you can put them together and they create something. And you can look around the room. There's different colors, there's different shapes, there's different sizes. And God has decided to put us together. And you may say, well, I'm just this piece. But God says that piece is important. Every piece is important. And what God is building is a church, is an assembly where his presence will dwell, where people can meet with Jesus, where people can come together to renew relations. I want you to see there are words that in the Bible used to describe the church. And there's 3 sets of words. And the first set right there, it says assembly. These are words right out of the New Testament. It says assembly, family, household, brothers and sisters, and the body of Christ. And that describes our relationship inward, inward. See, we're in. Like, you can't seek God and have bad relationships with other people. Now, having relationships with other people is hard. This man, when I first met him, all right, I left Missouri, we're crying like little babies. Stand up, look at this big hunk of a man with tattoos and just hair and these gauged earrings and just like, I mean, he cried. We cried like little girls almost. No offense to girls, but that's how we were crying, all right? Now, when we first met each other, he told me, and I didn't even know this, he said, before he came, I already didn't like him because I was going to the church that he was at and I was taking the role that he wanted. I came there to be the youth pastor, and he wanted to be the youth pastor. He was already the youth pastor. So how did you feel when you first saw me?
Resentful.
Resentful. Resentful, angry. But we walk into church, and I see this guy, and he's big and tattooed and, like, much cooler than I am. I'm not cool. He is cool. And so I'm like, hey, and I didn't know he didn't like me because he's a good faker. All right, so on the outside, it was all like faking and smiling. Hey, great to meet you. But within that, yeah, within that time together, within being the church together, we learned what it was to be brothers, to be the assembly, to be the family, to be the body of Christ. Like, we knew, and it was not just with him, but with these guys and others, and as we lived together, and you can sit down, man, it's all right, or stand as long as you want. I don't mind. We're free here. You're not under law. But we're here, and we learned how to be brothers. Not just people you saw in church. Not just people that you sit next to, and, man, I've been sitting next to them for like 3 or 4 years. Who are they? But brothers. So when I left, I'm like, man, like, he's gone out of his way for me. I've gone out of my way for him. Anything, if I had a problem or if he had a problem even today, we're 12 hours apart or however long it is, we'd be there. And you need that. You can't know what it is to know Christ without those type of people in your life. Because God reveals himself in those relationships. When I see how much he loves me, I know how much Jesus loves me. He's there in our midst. When we gather, I can see the love that Christ has for me because if this guy will love me, then I know Christ will love me. So your relationships, your inward relationships, they'll never be full until you're a part of a church, until you're a part of a body of Christ, a body of believers. We each have our part, and Christ's body is not going to be what it needs to be without you. But the enemy wants to separate you, wants to isolate you, because he doesn't want you encountering Christ. He doesn't want you in meeting your potential, and he doesn't want you knowing what it is to be loved. He doesn't want that. The next set of words on there, it talks about the temple of the Holy Spirit, the house of God, and the bride of Christ. And these are your relationships upward. So the church not only helps your inward relationships and teaches you just how to be human. We got so many people in this world that don't even know how to be human, that don't even know how to love anybody, that don't even know how to do that. And that's that inward relationship, just be human. But the church also teaches us how to understand Christ, like we are his temple. We are his temple. No more is there a temple that is out there somewhere that you bring a sheep or an offering or a sacrifice and you hope that God shows up and meets your need and forgives your sin. But this is his temple. When people gather in his name, the blocks get built together and he comes and he fills the house. You won't know God like you could without being a part of a group of people. It doesn't have to look like Lakeside Church. Don't get it twisted. This is not about here. If you walk out and never come back, you still need to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. You still need to be a part of the house of God and the bride of Christ. Now, that's weird. All right, but there's one thing. It says that we are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. Men and women were sons of God, and that talks about authority, and that talks about just the way the inheritance would be passed down to the sons. But we are all called men and women to be the bride of Christ. That speaks to another piece of our relationship with Jesus. And I'm not talking about like veil and white dress, because some of you guys, most of you guys, all of you guys would not look good in that. But I'm talking about to have that intimacy with Jesus, to be his bride, to be that, I mean, like, guys, girls, you get this, guys, it's kind of weird, but to have that intimacy, But even guys, we need God. And we need to go to him when we're feeling weak and we're feeling frail and when we need protection, and we need to have him put his arm around us and comfort us and know what it is to have a protector, to have a provider. A lot of times, guys, we go out there and we got to go to work and we don't even like it because that's just how work is. They pay us for a reason sometimes, right? But we know we're doing it for our families and we're working longer than we want to, but we're providing. Now, ladies do that too. But it's nice to know that there's somebody that's a protector, a provider, and you won't have the best relationship with Christ without being a part of a church. The third thing is it talks about the church is the pillar of truth. That's words that are describing the church in the New Testament. Stars, a lampstand, the light of the world, a city set on a hill, and the salt of the earth. So not only is it your relationships inward that are defined in the church, your relationships upward to God that get refined in the church, but your relationship out to the world. We're supposed to be the pillar of truth. Are we? Are we the pillar of truth? Do people look at the church and say, man, they got it. That's right. They know truth. They know Christ. If not, let's figure that out. Stars. You think about stars. What does it mean that we're stars? For millennia, how do they navigate? They look at the stars in the sky, and they find their direction. We should be living our lives. People know what it looks like to be human, to know God, that our in and our up is right, and people can look at us and say, man, I may feel lost, but there's something about that group. I can find my bearing. I can find my direction. Because they see it's different. Why do they love each other? Why do they love God? Why do they forgive? And they get their bearing. A lampstand, the light of the world, the same idea, like, this world is dark. It's broken. We had prayer before church. We were praying for you. If you came here today, we've been praying for you all week. We were praying for you last night. We were praying for you this morning. Man, when we pray for you, I'm praying for you as you're getting ready for church. And as the kids start bothering you, I'm praying for you. Like, I pray for that because I know what it is. And then you and your wife or your spouse start to get in an argument. Like, if you feel that argument coming, it's like, I don't know where the keys are. Where'd you put the keys? Why you always move my keys? I'm praying for you. Because I know that happens right before church, and we're praying for you. We're interceding for you because we want you to find the light of the world. It's a dark world. And we want you to find hope, and we want you to find peace and a city set on the hill, the salt of the earth. Like, that is what the church is supposed to be. That is what we're supposed to be. It's supposed to be in, up, and out. Like, it's all defined by the church. There is no army of one. The military, if you remember back in the day, it may even have been before September 11th, they had the ad that came on TV. It said Army of One. Do you remember? Anybody remember that? The Army of One, they had the T-shirts. I watched that and I was like, no. They had one guy running through the woods or the jungle or the desert, and he's got a machine gun and he's got all the equipment, and he's out there and talking about making an army of one. And the idea is being self-sufficient and being okay, and like, I get that. But no, I don't want to be an army of one. I want helicopters and missiles coming from boats and submarines shooting stuff out there and Navy SEALs around me. I don't want to be an army of one. Don't send me to war by myself. You can't do that. You can't live life as that army of one, as that person of one, and that's what the church is. So there's three keys I want to give you about. So how do you get involved in a church? On the back, I gave a couple different scriptures. The first one in, number one, I took a verse from Hebrews chapter 10. It says, and let us consider, I'm going to verse Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It's on the back of your sheet. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you want your relationships right, the first thing you can do is show up. It's not rocket surgery, all right? Rocket science, brain surgery, moving together, that's rocket surgery. And that's not what this is. All right, it's not rocket surgery. Show up. All right, only I think the average like good Christian, the average believer, or like the average person that's committed, they show up less than 2 times a month. We all got stuff going on. We all got life. I know what it is to go to work, to work a long day, to get annoyed by people all day, to be tired, to not have slept the night before because the kids were up, and to have to come home, and then you got small group, and you're like, I don't even want to go to small group. You're leading the small group, Chris. But I don't even want to go. Do I have to? It's in your house. I'll just hide upstairs. Emmerich, you lead it. Like, I know what that's like. That happens to us all. But every time that comes, I know the end result. Every time I go and I meet with God's people and I gather in the name of Jesus, somehow he shows up and I always leave feeling better than before I got there. I always leave. So the worse you feel and the more you don't want to just go, and I'm not talking about you can't go because there's a legitimate reason. It's not about coming to Lakeside, but whatever church you find, show up. Think about this. If Jesus is there when they gather and you gather with them, Jesus is in that room and he's working on you. So gather wherever you can, whenever you can. Make your time. Not to be religious or anything like that, but show up. That's the first thing you can do. The second thing you can do, it says right there, it says, whoever, this is Mark chapter 10, verses 43 through 45, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Now, this is Jesus talking, not Chris, so get mad at him, not me. Take this up with Jesus, please. Whoever would want to be first must be the slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I thank God I figured this out. I heard a message at church. Remember I told you, I said, man, if I believe this stuff, I should probably go to church. Well, I went, and one of the first messages I ever heard was, you should be serving at the church. Like, that's what you do. God created you to serve. Jesus was somebody who served. Like, even him, even the King of Kings, he came to serve. And this idea of him, like, washing people's feet and rubbing them down with his robe and the fact that he served, he fed people, and he did this. And they said, if you're a Christian and you follow Jesus, like, why not serve? Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you serve other people? And I was like, great, that makes perfect sense. I want to be like Jesus. I believe this stuff. So the very next day, Monday, I showed up at the church, knocked on it. Church secretary was there, kind of like that Monday hangover for church people. Everybody's tired, and I'm like, hey, I'm here to help out. They were like, what? I was like, you just talked for an hour yesterday about helping out in church, and I want to help out. They're like, I don't know. And they gave me to the custodian. They called the custodian over. They're like, hey, he wants to do something. So I went with the custodian. He's like, huh? He had work to do. He didn't want to work with me. He's like, well, he wants to do something. So they put me outside in the sun, 100 degrees in South Florida, and said, go pick those weeds. Man, I picked those weeds like nobody's ever picked weeds in my life. I was dirty and sweaty, but those weeds were gone because that's just what it did. Now, what happened was, is when you put yourself in a position to serve, God just does great things. Within a year, I was the administrative pastor of that church at like 22 years old. Actually, within 3 or 4 years, because I got saved pretty young. So maybe 3, 4, 5 years. I was the administrative pastor of that church. Within years, I went, I can't count, all right? I just taught math, but don't make me count, all right? I was a math teacher. Don't judge me. But within a few years, I went from picking weeds to basically being like the second or third guy in that church. Like, because I always had that attitude. If it needs to get done, let's get it done. I still have that attitude. My biggest, like, drawback is I hate to ask other people to do stuff. Because picking weeds sucks. Don't get it twisted. Picking weeds is terrible. I do not enjoy that. But I would rather pick the weeds than have you pick the weeds. I would rather move that speaker than have you move that speaker. Like, that's just my nature. You can ask this guy. I don't like to ask other people because, like, I'm here to serve. I'm not asking or saying anything other than what, how I live my life. But if this isn't your church, find a church and serve. Do something. And watch how God uses that. Man, I got to spend time with the pastors there. I got to learn what it was to be humble. I got to learn what it was I'm not saying I'm the most humble person in the world. That's this man right here. Somebody else is the most humble. But I got to learn what it was to be like Christ. The next thing is smaller groups. There's a verse in Acts chapter 2 where it gives an amazing description of a church that really is the pillar of truth, the light of the world, a lampstand, stars that guide you. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many signs and wonders were being done, and all who believed had all of their things in common. And day by day they were attending the temple together. That's like big church. And then they were breaking bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number daily. Oh, I had to put smaller because it's not small groups. Small groups are a piece of those smaller groups, but you got to get into smaller groups of people. It says where two or three are gathered, so make a new friend. Have somebody you can talk to. Even if you just have time to have coffee or something with one person, do that. Because the more you get to know people, the more you get to actually know what it is to become a church. This is not being the church. I'm just going to put it out there. I could come every day and sit right down next to my friend Jason right here. And he's right here every day, every Sunday. I know he screams Jesus a lot, and so I'm ready for that. He's screaming Jesus, and he's ready to go. And I shake his hand, and then I leave. I'm like, way to go, buddy. Good job. Good game. That is not being the church. The church comes when Jason's like, hey, Chris, can you show up at my house and help me do something? And I try to figure out how to make that work in the midst of all my schedule. The church comes when Jason says, hey, I want to go hang out, and we go and we have lunch. We've had lunch maybe four or five times. I'm not sure how many times. That's when the church begins to happen, when I know what Jason's been through, when I know what he's done, and when I know what God has done in his life. But like, that's not just me. The church is not centered around Christ. It's around Jesus and the relationships you can build with other people. But I've been that guy. I've been at church with people for 4 or 5 years and not known their name, or not known more than their name. And then I've gotten into smaller groups, chances where you really get to talk to them. What could smaller groups look like? Inviting somebody out for coffee or breakfast or lunch or dinner? You could do that, but that may not be you. Smaller groups, this worship team up here and the people that set up, like, these guys are hilarious. Today we were laughing, like, just having fun. Robert comes in, and he calls me the wrong name and messes with me. He keeps me humble right there. He's just a really good guy, so now I call him Ron. I know his name is Robert, but I'm going to call him Ron, and I ask you to do the same. So just say, hey, Ron, how's it going? But that relationship comes from us showing up, and it's a smaller group. We're serving together. We're having fun together. We're laughing together. The small group at my house, Pam. I got to know Pam. Pam comes, we've studied the scripture together, and if you give that lady a question, she will jump on the internet like Sherlock Holmes herself and dig into what the options are out there, and we've looked at the Word of God together, and I've got to know her through a small group in my house. It's different in different ways. Jason over here, we've met together on Friday mornings just to pray. Just to pray? Yeah, there's no agenda. But I'm like, hey, man, I really want to pray with somebody. Would you like to pray? Do you have people in your life that you could do that? How are you going to be the pillar of the truth, salt of the earth, if you can't just say, would you show up with me and just pray? And he's like, okay. And he's done it. So I'm asking you guys to be bold, to be wild, and to get in some kind of smaller group. And I'm antisocial. Don't judge me, but I'm going to be honest. I'm antisocial. I'm an introvert. But I know the good that comes from knowing people. And so we're closing this group, and this message today, but if you want to seek Jesus, getting in a church, whether it's here or anywhere, and I mean that with all my heart, where you can develop your relationships in, up, and out, where you can show up, where you can serve. And you know what? If you show up tomorrow and you say, Chris, I want to serve, it may be exactly like my experience. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be like, I'll find something for you to do. There's tons of stuff to do, but I didn't give up. All right, I did the weeds. What's next? We want you to chip this concrete. Now, for some of you, you can't chip concrete. But I was 17 years old. I got this. Let's do this. It's fun. I like breaking stuff. All right? So for some of you, that's not, I mean, we don't, God, he's going to make me chip concrete. That man's crazy. No, I'm not saying I'll make you chip concrete, but I'm saying if you have the attitude with whatever it takes, I just want to serve God. If it's standing up in the front and saying hi to people, if it's helping somebody in the church to meet a real need, if it's not even serving in the church, but it's finding out that somebody's car broke down and you know how to fix it, and you show up there and say, you know what, I'll help you fix this. Or I'll help you fix something in your garage. I mean, that serving is a key. And then the last thing is getting into smaller groups, not getting in just lost in the big group. Guys, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up here. We're going to close with a song. But as we were praying, we're going to be done, guys. And as we were praying, I felt like there might be some people that you're not ready for any of that. You're not ready to be around people. You're not ready to be a part of a church. Like, you've got some stuff that's holding you back. And if you've come and you have anything holding you back, like, I've been praying for you. Our intercessors, people that pray, have been praying for you. And we believe God can bring a healing. God can bring a release. God can bring freedom to you today. That he is able. So I want you just to bow your heads just for a second. And if you feel bound up, if you feel wounded, like getting involved in a church doesn't even seem possible because maybe you got hurt in a church before. Or loving people doesn't seem possible because you've been hurt before. Or taking advantage. You hear serving and all you think, I've been taken advantage of. I don't want to do that. Like, I'm sorry. I believe God wants to heal that. There's a healthy way to serve. There's a healthy way to show up. There's a healthy way to get in smaller groups that is life-giving and not life-draining. And God wants you to have life and have it abundantly. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and I believe he's brought you here because he loves you and he's good. So if you've got baggage or you've got wounds or you've got things holding you back, I'd like to know who I'm praying for right now. Would you just put amen? That was easy. The hands going up all over this place.